So after wishing everyone Shavua Tov, and thank you for joining me, our subject for today is grandparents and grandchildren. And I would like to divide our discussion into two parts. One is halachic, and that touches on the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, and whether or not that mitzvah of kibud av va'em applies from grandchildren to grandparents, meaning are grandchildren obligated in kibud av va'em to their grandparents. That's going to be the halachic part of our discussion, and we have a heroic tshuva of the Ma'arik. We'll explain a little bit about the Ma'arik later. And the second half will be on more of a hashkafic level, shall we say more of an emotional relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. So let's begin with the halacha, and we'll start with a very important Rashi. Now, in order to appreciate the significance of Rashi, we have to know that if I say to you, this will be important for understanding Rashi, if I say to you that X is a greater obligation than Y, what am I implying? Is there an obligation vis-a-vis Y or only vis-a-vis X? If I say X is greater than Y, what am I implying? That there's an obligation even vis-a-vis Y. So if, for example, I show you that Rashi says that the obligation of children to their parents is greater than that of their obligation to grandparents, what is Rashi implying? That there is an obligation vis-a-vis grandparents. It's not on the same level. It doesn't reach that intensity of the obligation vis-a-vis parents, but nevertheless, there is an obligation vis-a-vis grandparents as well. And we're going to soon see that this is the opinion of Rashi. And Rashi is tucked away in sort of like a secret place. You know, you could really miss this Rashi. And if you have the first page that I gave out for you today and you like to follow the text, you don't have to follow the text because I'll say everything bal peh. But for those who like to follow the text, and Gershon, you know my style on that, I always give out a text. So the parsha that we're looking at is the parsha of Yaakov Avinu. Now Yaakov Avinu comes to a city called Beersheba, and there he brings zvachim, he brings korbanot. And when he pledges or declares that these korbanot are being brought in honor of those who came before him, meaning in honor of his ancestors, he mentions Aviv Yitzchak. He mentions his father Yitzchak. And Rashi is bothered by the fact that he doesn't mention his grandfather, namely Avram. So Yaakov brings this Zevach al Shem Aviv, al Shem Yitzchak, but not al Shem Yaakov, his grandfather. So Rashi writes, which you'll see right below the text of the Torah in small print, if you can make that out, Chayav Adam Bechvod Aviv Yoser Mikvod Zkeno. An individual is obligated in the mitzvah of honor vis-a-vis his father greater than that of his obligation vis-a-vis his grandfather. What does Rashi seem to imply then if he says that the kibud of his father is greater than that of the kibud of his zaken? Is there a zaken meaning a grandfather? What do you derive from this, Rashi? That by implication, Rashi's telling us that there's a chiyuv, an obligation to respect one's grandparents. The source for this, Rashi, is one opinion in the Medrash. The Medrash on that very pasuk quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Chayev adam b'chvod aviv yoser mikvod zkeno. That the reason why Yaakov Avinu mentions his father Yitzchak, but omits mention of his grandfather Yaakov, is because his main chiyuv kavod, his greater chiyuv kavod, is vis-a-vis Yitzchak, his father. And that supersedes his obligation vis-a-vis his grandfather Yaakov. I'm sorry, his grandfather Avram. Sorry. So this seems to be the source for Rashi. However, you should know that the Medrash offers a long list of answers, of alternative answers to as to why Yaakov Avinu mentions Yitzchak and omits Avram, his grandfather, according to, for example, the opinion of Reish Lakish. This has to do with Yitzchak playing the role of Yaakov's Rebbe, and Yaakov basically learns the Torah, receives the Torah from his father Yitzchak. According to another opinion in the Medrash, it has to do with what's called Bris Hashvatim. Also, one opinion, which is Rabbeinu Barachia, that Yaakov wants to mention Yitzchak because Yitzchak is the Baal Yisurim. He's the individual who suffers. He's brought onto the Akedah. So again, there are a myriad of answers to the question why Yaakov omits mention of his grandfather, of Avram Avinu. By the way, does this microphone either help or the opposite? Is it working at all?
It's irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Okay, so why am I stretching my neck here for this thing if it's totally irrelevant? Okay. So again, we have one opinion in the Medrash, which is Rabbi Yochanan, and for some reason, Rashi, of all the opinions in the Medrash, he chooses that of Rabbi Yochanan to justify the omission of Avram, of the grandfather's name, and that's because Chayev Adam Mikvod Aviv Yosef Mikvod Zkeno. So let's just make a note of it as we go along, that Rashi is of the opinion that a grandson is obligated in the kavod, in the honor of his grandfather. We're going to see that this has tremendous repercussions. I'll give you an example just to whet your appetite as we go through the halachas here. What would be in a case where the father is incapable of supporting his parents, but his son, the grandchildren, are capable financially of supporting their grandparents? Is there an obligation incumbent upon a grandson, for example, to support his grandfather? I'm just giving you one example of many, many different implications or repercussions of this question as to whether or not grandchildren are obligated in the kavod of their grandparents. Now, if we assume Rashi is correct, which means that there is an obligation incumbent upon grandchildren vis-a-vis grandparents, what would be the source or the logic of Rashi? So here we have an insight of the Torah Tmima. The Torah Tmima's name was Rabbi Baruch Epstein. He lived in the 20th century. And he claims that Rashi derived this from a Gemara in Kiddushin. The real sugya, the source of Kibud Av Va'Em, is in Masechta Kiddushin. And there the Gemara wants to know whether or not grandparents, we'll focus on the grandfather in this case, is there an obligation to teach Torah? The Torah says, Vishinantam Livanecha, which imposes an obligation on parents to teach Torah, to transmit Torah to children. Is there a parallel obligation on grandparents to teach Torah to grandchildren? So let's say, for example, I have a choice between teaching the Torah to your child or teaching the Torah to my grandson. If it was your child or my child, my primary obligation would be vis-a-vis my child. What about if it's a choice between my grandson and your son? And the Gemara derives from a pasuk that grandparents are obligated to teach, to transmit the Torah to their grandchildren. And this you'll see the third source on your first page. The Gemara says about Zvulun ben Dan, Shalimdo Avi Aviv Torah, that Zvulun, the son of Dan, was taught Torah by his grandfather. And the Gemara goes on to quote a brisa, V'limanetem osem es b'nechem, and then the Gemara quotes another pasuk, V'odatem levanecha ulivnei vanecha. Here the Torah goes out of its way to say b'nei vanecha, which means grandchildren. Lom lecha shekol amalamed es b'no Torah. Fine. Ulivno uliben b'no ad sof kol adoros. Is malo lavakosav kilu kiblo me'ar Sinai. that how great is the level of teaching Torah to one's grandchildren, it's as if he received that Torah at Har Sinai. That's how the Gemara dramatizes the nature and the extent of this obligation of grandparents to teach Torah to their grandchildren. And if you look in the bottom of your page 1, the Torah Tmima writes that Chayav Adam b'chvod avi aviv, a grandson is obligated in kavod to his father's father. And this was Rashi Sheet, as we saw in Chumash, in the parasha of Yitzchak and Yaakov. Says the Torah Tmima that midah chazinah, since we see from our Gemara in Kiddushin, the alavi aviv chalachovas aviv gam l'bnei banim, that the Torah derives from this pasuk of Yodata, that grandparents are obligated to teach grandchildren their Torah. So it means that I have to teach my son's son Torah. Therefore, says the Torah Tmima, it's a svara that when it comes to kavod, in the reverse, there has to be a separate, independent mitzvah of kavod incumbent upon grandchildren vis-a-vis grandparents. If the grandparents are obligated vis-a-vis their grandchildren, then it's a two-way street. The Torah has connected grandparents with grandchildren. And that's explicit in the Torah. Vadata levanecha ulevnei vanecha. To such an extent that if I teach my grandson Torah, it's as if I've received it at Har Sinai. Now, there's going to be a two-way street, a parallel obligation of kavod. Meaning, what is kavod according to the Torah Tmima? This is Berzon talking. I can't tell you that this is what the Torah Tmima would say if he was here sitting in the room. But this is what I would assume. What is the nature of the chi of kavod? Why do I have to give kavod to my parents? Again, you can give a thousand answers to this question. Hakar satov, they brought you into this world, etc., etc. But the Gemara in Bava Metzia compares it to a Rebbe. Now, a father is a Rebbe to his son, because the Torah says, Vishinantom levanecha, you have to teach your son Torah. This could be the source for the son's chi of kibud to his father. Now you may ask me, well, what happens if his father didn't fulfill his obligation? For whatever reason, he was incapable of teaching his son Torah. There would still be an obligation upon the son to respect his father, because in theory his father should have taught him Torah. He couldn't teach him Torah. Fine. He didn't have the wherewithal, he didn't have the ability, he didn't have the knowledge, he didn't have the time, so he didn't teach him Torah. But his father is his Rebbe in many different ways. The father transmits Torah to his children, not necessarily in the formal teaching sense. You know, in a school, they sit down, they open up a Gemara, which, by the way, many people have told me that they've tried to teach Torah to their sons and it just didn't go. But there's so many other ways in which a parent transmits Torah to his children. And therefore, the children have to look up to the parents as a Rebbe kind of relationship. And the Torah goes out of its way to say that a Talmud has to stand up for his Rebbe, has to give kavod to his Rebbe, and therefore a Talmud has to give kavod for his father, who's his Rebbe. And now if we say that the Rebbe is not just the Rebbe teaching the son Torah, but the grandparent is obligated to teach his grandson Torah, then there's again a relationship of transmission of Torah, a Rebbe-Talmud relationship between a grandparent and a grandson. But again, just to summarize, Rashi chooses Rabbi Yochanan in the Medrash, and he writes in his Pirush al HaTorah that although the chiyuv vis-a-vis a parent is greater than that of a grandchild vis-a-vis his grandfather, but nevertheless there's a chiyuv of kavod towards one's grandfather as well.
Is that perhaps the concept Isalachto bidrochov lolechet bidrachav?
And what, it's a reference to a grandparent in some sense, or what? How does that tie you to grandparents? I didn't catch the connection.
Well,
let me think about it.
Okay,
Rabbi, I'm going to try to digest it. But let me just point out to you that although this is Rashi Shita, and according to at least the Torah Tmima, the source for Rashi in imposing an obligation of grandchildren vis-a-vis their grandparents is Rabbi Yochanan the Medrash, and according to Tartmima, it's based on the logic of the grandparents' obligation to teach Torah to his grandchildren. There seems to be another source for Rashi, an entirely different source. And this you'll see on the top of your page too, a Gemara in Yevamah Samach Aleph. This is the sugya of Pirya Verivya. Now a man is obligated to propagate, and until he has the final maskana, cutting through the chase here, if he has a boy and a girl, a male and a female, he has fulfilled that mitzvah. If he hasn't fulfilled that mitzvah, we have to beat him up until he fulfills that mitzvah. He's got to get married. He can't say, I want to remain single. Don't ask me questions about what goes on today. You know, I come from I rabbinate in a neighborhood where there are too many singles. I don't even want to talk about it. It gets me down. But anyway, you know, a man has to get married. A woman, it's a little bit more complicated. She's not obligated in the mitzvah of period of rivia. She's obligated in the mitzvah of getting married. And now the Gemara wants to know what happens in a tragic situation, which is hard to express in words, in which a man lost his children, unfortunately. But his children left children of their own. Has the grandfather fulfilled his mitzvah, his obligation of Piri Verivya, through his grandchildren? And the Gemara invokes a very famous principle called Bnei Banim Harei Heim Kibanim. The Gemara proves this in many ways, that grandchildren are considered like children. And therefore, the grandfather, insofar as he has grandchildren, now again, it's complicated. He has to make sure that amongst his grandchildren, he has both a male and a female, and both of these came through each one of his children. Do you follow what I'm saying? I didn't say it right, but what I meant to say is that his son left a son or a daughter. His daughter left the opposite gender. So through these two children, he has grandchildren. Now, if one of his two children, a male or a female, is still alive, then he'll need the other gender in the level of his grandchildren. So let's say his daughter is still alive. If his son left a son, then he now has a daughter and a grandson. And that combination thereof, the Gemara says, is a fulfillment of the obligation. He doesn't have to get married henceforth. Or we're not going to sell a sefer Torah for him if he decides to get married. Okay, these are complicated halachas, which I'm oversimplifying, but I think we could all appreciate this principle called Bnei Banim Harei Heim Kibanim. Grandchildren are like children. And from that halachic perspective, there's no doubt that if a child has to give respect and honor to his parents, then a grandchild has to give respect to his grandfather because Bnei Banim Harei Kibanim. But all the poskim reject this. And they say there's no proof to Rashi from that Gemara in Yevamos. Bnei Banim Harei Kibanim has to do with Piri V'Rivia. Piri V'Rivia has to do with generations to come. And if he's left generations to come, he has fulfilled his mitzvah. That doesn't prove anything in terms of the grandson's relationship to his grandfather vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Kibud. But in any event, Rashi goes on record as saying there is such an obligation. Now it's interesting that the Rambam codifies this halacha in Piri V'Rivya of Bnei Banim Harei Kibanim, but yet nowhere in the Rambam, are you listening to me? This is a very important point. Nowhere in the Rambam does the Rambam codify an obligation on grandchildren to respect and honor their grandparents. It just doesn't appear in the Rambam. The Rambam has a great deal to say. He dedicates an entire chapter in his great magnum opus, the Mishneh Torah, to the obligation of children vis-a-vis parents. Kibud av va'em. The Rambam puts it on the highest level. He says it's like kavod ha'makom, the honor that we give to God. But nowhere does the Rambam codify the halacha that grandchildren have to give respect to their grandparents. Again, the grandparents may be elderly people, and that comes under a general mitzvah that we always have. Adarta b'nei zaken, we're obligated in respect towards older people. But nowhere does the Rambam quote a special, unique obligation incumbent upon grandchildren. But we get to the heroic tshuva, the breakthrough tshuva, and that's the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik lived 6 centuries ago, and his name was Rabbi Yosef Kolon. He wrote extensively. His response are pillars of halacha. And more often than not, when you hear somebody quote the Ma'arik, Rav Yosef Kalon, you know that he's quoting some sort of breakthrough tshuva. For example, you know, I don't want to get into this now, it's off our base, but all the issues about Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol, and all the issues about Bechuko Seim Lo Teilechu, you know, haircuts, and what we're allowed to imitate from the guy and what we're not, it's all the Marik. For example, in the Parsha of Sota, all the tshuvas quote the Marik. Here the Marik has something to say about grandchildren, and it's not what you think he's going to say. It's not Rashi at all. And he writes the following, that although B'nei Bonim Hareim Kebonim Lo Havi Kebonim Mamish, it doesn't mean, don't misunderstand the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis, that the Gemara means to say that children and grandchildren are both considered children. That's not so. It has to do with the Halacha Piri V'Rivia. And he addresses a question that was relevant to Kaddish. Now, I know people who will recite Kaddish on behalf of grandparents. The Marik says, Niral Anias Daiti appears to me, Ein Leben HaBen Lomar Kaddish Bishvil Zikno Yosemi Odomacher. Look, you can say Kaddish on behalf of anybody, but you have no obligation to say Kaddish on behalf of your grandparent. And he goes on to say, you'll see the other line in about 9 lines down in the middle of column 2, he says, Nirash HaBen HaBen Ein Chayav B'Chvod Zkeno. You can't be more explicit than that. She is chayav. We don't find any source for an obligation incumbent upon grandchildren to respect their grandparents. In fact, we find kibud av ha'em, we find eshes aviv, if my father got remarried, bal imo, if my mother got remarried, echov ha'gadol, my older brother. And in each one of these cases, the sugya in Kiddushin and the parallel sugya in Ksubis derives these obligations from psukim. Aval ben haben bechvod hazaken lo matzidu b'shum makom. The Gemara never addresses the question of, is there a source for the obligation of grandchildren vis-a-vis their grandparents? And therefore, his final conclusion says, "Marik ain lo lomar kaddish yosem yishalom adamacher." If he wants to say kaddish for anybody, he can say kaddish for anybody. But there's no obligation to say kaddish for grandparents. And here, on the flip side, if I would ask for a consensus here, I would imagine that there are some people in the audience, and if there are no one, at least there's one who doesn't even know the yard side of his grandparents. Because when I was at my grandparents' kever, my grandparents on my father's side are buried in Akron, Ohio, I didn't have a camera with me, so I didn't take a picture of the monument. So I don't even remember when my grandparents died.
But you could write it down.
Yeah, but who's here to write it down? If my father was alive, he would tell me the dates. But my father's gone, and you know, the last time I saw my father was a year before he died, and I didn't, it didn't lick me in Xin, and you know, I didn't think of asking him, when Daddy, were your parents' yard site? But again, those who have observed their grandparents' yard site, I say, Tov Alechem Bracha, that's all fine, and you get a bracha for it, it's wonderful. We love grandparents. But I'm telling you that the Marik says that you don't even have to know your grandparents' yard site. And B'nei Bonim, Harei and Kibonim has nothing to do with this sugya. That has to do with Piri of Arivia, with keeping the world going, making sure that there are generations to come. And he says, "Binyan Hakadosh Linyan Tfila, Kachli Omer Bishvil Aviv Kmo Omer Bishvil Acher Shein Karv Klal Shein Zetoli Klal Baratzan Akol." You know, the guy wants to get the Omud. He wants to be the Shliach Tzibur. He says, "You know, my grandparents, the anniversary of their death," and he doesn't get first dibs according to Marik. So this is really interesting, because if I would summarize what we have here until this point, I would tell you that there's a controversy between Rashi and the Marik. Rashi implies quite clearly that there is an obligation. The Torah Tmima gives a basis for Rashi for the obligation of grandchildren to respect their grandparents. The Marik denies it explicitly. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with an Israeli rabbi, a Sephardi rabbi who lived here in Yerushalayim about 120 years ago. He was called the Stei Chemed. He wrote extensively. And he finds that there are a number of, I call them obscure achronim, who accepted the sheet of Rashi. Amongst them, for example, the Sefer HaCharedim, Rabbi Eliezer Azkari, or, for example, the Menorah Samar, Rabbi Yitzchak Abuav. Next time you're in Tzfat, you'll visit his synagogue. And they maintain that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa incumbent upon grandchildren to respect their grandparents. And it's very fascinating, because this seems to support the sheet of Rashi, and maybe even go beyond Rashi. Rashi never explicitly says that my obligation vis-a-vis my grandparents is Doraisa. They say it's Doraisa. And we're going to have to figure out where in the Torah is there a source for such a thing. You can't just say we derive it from the Medrash of Rabbi Yochanan that Yaakov could have mentioned his grandfather Avraham Avinu. That doesn't make any sense. And here, I want to point out to you the Taz. The Taz lived 4 centuries ago, a little bit more, and he writes in Shulchan Aruch that somehow the Marik missed up on Rashi. And this is the language of the Taz. Nela mimenu pirish Rashi al haTorah. Now that's a heavy accusation. The Taz is accusing the Marik of ignoring Rashi al haTorah. So I want to point out to you something very cute. The Shach, who's always the Bar Plugta against the Taz, asks the following question. He says, if the Taz has a problem with the Marik, why did he say that the Marik overlooked Rashi al haTorah? He should have said the Marik overlooked the Medrash itself, the way the Torah is interpreted by Rabbi Yochanan in the Medrash. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan, his interpretation in the Medrash predates Rashi by a number of centuries, a long number of centuries. So why does he mention Rashi, that the Marik is being accused of forgetting Rashi? Why did he mention that the Marik is guilty of forgetting Rabbi Yochanan in the Medrash? So this I found very cute. The Shach says that the reason why the Taz mentions Rashi and not the Medrash is because it was not popular in the days of the Taz to learn the Medrash. But everybody knew Rashi al haTorah. That Rashi al haTorah was considered such a fundamental source that how could it be the Marik omitted Rashi, ignored Rashi al haTorah? Okay, that's just what we call a Maimar Muzgar, just in passing. In any event, we have now the following. Let's just summarize. Rashi holds that there's an obligation incumbent upon grandchildren to respect their grandparents. He doesn't mention that it's Doraisa. Rashi's source apparently is a Medrash. The logic is offered by the Torah Tmima. And now we have in the Stei Chemed a number of Achronim who lived, let's say, 5 centuries ago, and they accepted Rashi and went beyond Rashi. It's a Chiv Doraisa. We don't know exactly where the source is. On the other end of the spectrum, we had a Marik who takes a clear position that there's no obligation incumbent upon grandchildren to respect their grandparents. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? Guess what? And you all could have guessed it. To the same extent that the Rambam omitted any mention of an obligation incumbent upon grandchildren, the Shulchan Aruch did the same. Nowhere in the Shulchan Aruch will you find, he's got a long list of chiyuv kibud, I got to be machabed, my stepfather and my stepmother and my older brother and so forth, but nowhere does he say I have to respect my grandparents. But you know who writes the Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch? None other than the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe Isserles, and the Rambam writes on the Shulchan Aruch, which you'll see here on your page 3, Yesh Omrim, this is in Siman Reish Mem, Hilchas Kibud Av Ha'Em Se'if Chav Dalid, he writes, Yesh Omrim, Di Ein Adam Chaya B'Chvod Avi Aviv, so he opens up by quoting the Marik, and then he says, V'Eino Nira Li, I don't accept the Marik, El D'Chaya B'Chvod Aviv, Yosem B'Chvod Avi Imo, And in parentheses, he writes, check the Medrash, meaning Rabbi Yochanan that we started with. He doesn't mention Rashi al HaTorah. To him, it would be embarrassing if he left out a Medrash, which came hundreds of years before Rashi al HaTorah. So now the plot goes thicker. It's not just some of the Achronim who accepted Rashi, like the Menorah Samar, or the Sefer HaRedim. The Ramah for Ashkenazic Jews codifies this halacha, which is in the Medrash, that a person is obligated to respect his grandparents. And a super commentary on Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya is the Shach. The Sifsei Kohen, the Shach. My Rebbe, when he would learn the Shach, it was like learning a Rishon. I mean, Mamish, I remember he spent hours trying to figure out the Shach. Now, any other Achron, forget it. He didn't even want to quote it in class, except for the Vilna Gaon, maybe, and Reb Chaim Brisker. But other than that, you know, it was very meager. The Shach writes that not only do we paskin like the Ramah, based on Rashi and the Medrash, that there's a chiyuv on grandchildren to respect their grandparents, but more than that, yesh din kfiya lefarneis eskeno. If no one is there to support his grandfather, we will force the grandson, if he has the financial means, to support his grandfather. Obviously, the Shach understood that there's an absolute chiyuv to be mechaber your grandfather, to such an extent that it expresses itself in monetary terms. But the mechaber in Shulchan Aruch Rav Yosef Kar completely omits this chiyuv. How can he omit such a thing? Now, if you take a look, there's a Bir HaGra of the Vilna Gaon here on page 3. And he says that it would seem from a Gemara in Sota that the Ma'arik is correct, because the Gemara in Sota quotes Rav Acha Bar Yaakov in terms of the relationship that he has to his maternal grandfather, that means the father of his mother, Lav Brichana. I am not a child. And Rashi says, Ein olai l'chavdoch kiben. I don't have to respect you as a child would, because I'm only a grandchild. Now this is problematic, because Rashi himself holds that grandchildren are obligated in the respect of their grandparents. How could Rashi in Masechta Sota then turn around and say, and again, if you want to see the Gemara itself, it's on the top of your page 2, which is really page 4, because we double-sided it. How could Rashi say that as a grandchild he's not obligated? Rashi himself is committed to the position in Rashi al-Torah that grandchildren are obligated in the respect of their grandchildren. So if you notice, there's a commentary on Shulchan Aruch called the Yad Avram. Here in the printout that you have, the Yad Avram doesn't appear, but he's quoted in something called the Otzer HaMefarshim on the bottom of your page. And he wants to differentiate between Avi Imo and Avi Aviv. And again, this requires a tremendous amount of research to differentiate between a paternal grandfather, where Rashi holds that there is a chiyuv kibud, so Yaakov has to be mechaved Avram, as opposed to Rav Acha bar Yaakov vis-a-vis his maternal grandfather, there is no chiyuv la brich ano. And this all has to do with the sugya in Yevamos of Piriyah v'Rivyah of Bnei Bonim, Harein Kibonim. Okay. Now, the Gaon, in his Bir HaGra, goes on to quote a Gemara in Makkos. And this you'll see in the middle of your page 2, okay, which might be called page 4, depending upon how you number it. And the Gemara in Makkos, and I have to say by introduction, you know, the Torah has to address every single scenario, no matter how gory it might be. So the case here is the case of a father who inadvertently, unintentionally killed his own son. Now, let's assume that he has two sons. One of them survived and one of them died. Does the surviving son have the obligation to kill his own father under the law of Goel Hadam, meaning if the father is not in the Ir Miklat, in the city of refuge, then normally the Goel Hadam, which in this case would be the son, would have to kill his own father. So the final maskan is the following. Habibno, Habibben Bino. It means the following, as Rashi explains it. Ein bino nase gol adam. So the brother of the deceased, who is killed unintentionally, will not become the gol adam to kill his own father. Ein bino nase gol adam, bibno shel rotzeach komar. So the ben will not be a gol adam to kill his father. But the ben aben, the grandson, will become a Goel Hadam to kill his grandfather. Now, what's the difference between a son and a grandson? And Rashi there in Masechet Makos assumes that the difference is as follows. When there's a mitzvah, an obligation of kibud, that trumps the obligation of Goel Hadam. So in the case of the son, the brother of the deceased, he cannot be a Goel Hadam to rise up against his father because he's obligated in kibud. However, the grandson, who's also a Goel Hadam, because he's the next of kin, he is obligated to kill his grandfather if his grandfather doesn't run quickly to the Eir Miklat, because he's not chayev in the covenant of his grandson, of his grandfather. This, again, would be a support text for the Ma'arik. Why? Because if you recall, I hope you haven't forgotten, the Ma'arik was the breakthrough tshuva that grandchildren are not obligated in the midst of kibud vis-a-vis their grandparents. And that's exactly what goes on here, in which case the Gemara Makos establishes that a grandson will become a Goel Hadam to kill his grandfather. He's not obligated in kibud, despite the fact that a son is not a Goel Hadam to kill his father, because the son is obligated in the midst of kibud. So look at all the proofs that would support the Ma'arik. Number one, nowhere in any Gemara does the Gemara quote any source whatsoever and formulate any halacha of an obligation on grandparents vis-a-vis their grandchildren. On grandchildren vis-a-vis their grandparents. Nowhere does it appear. There's no source. There's a whole list of kibud. And guess what? The kibud of grandchildren is not on the list. That's number one. Number two, we had a proof from the Gemara in Sota where Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, I'm not obligated in kavod to my grandfather because I'm not a ben, I'm not a son. Number three, we have the Gemara Makos that says that as opposed to the son who cannot become a Goel Hadam, the grandson becomes a Goel Hadam to kill his father. Finally, to his grandfather. And finally, we have the Rambam who completely omits this halacha. We have the Shulchan Aruch completely omitted the halacha. And what's on the other side of the coin? Well, we have a Rashi somewhere in Chumash, quoting a Medrash. Why did Yaakov Avinu mention Yitzchak? He didn't mention his grandfather Avram, because the chiyuv to his grandfather is not the same as his chiyuv to his father, but there is a chiyuv kibud. We had a couple of achronim, the Noah Sarmar, etc., that agreed with Rashi, and then we have the Ramah who agrees with Rashi. But that's really what you have. All the sources, says the Gaon, seem to indicate that the truth is with the Ma'arik. There is no obligation incumbent upon grandchildren vis-a-vis their grandparents. However, here I want to share with you a brilliant insight of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. As you know, Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived 2.5 centuries ago. He was easily the sharpest mind in Ashkenazic, post-Rishonim, modern history. Unbelievable mind, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And this is no exception. Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks the following question. If Rashi is right, if the Ramah is right, if the Sefer HaRedim and the Dros Hamor are right, there is an obligation. Where do we derive it from? And why isn't it codified anywhere? Not in Shas, nor in the Rambam, nor in the Shulchan Aruch. Where is it based on? How could it be? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, It's in the Gemara itself, but only if you read the Gemara properly and carefully. The Gemara asks the following question. My father asked me for a cup of tea. My mother asked me for a cup of tea. Who do I give first? Obviously, I'm obligated in both kibbut av and kibbut ein. But in priorities, how do I prioritize? So the Gemara answers the following. Hanach l'kvod imo v'chavet es aviv, imo chayeves b'kvod aviv. That she shares with you, the son, an obligation vis-a-vis her husband. Again, that's only while they're married. If they're divorced, this Gemara doesn't apply. But as long as they're married, there's a chiyuv kibud incumbent upon her. The Gemara applies this logic over and over again. That if you decide between kibud vis-a-vis X or kibud vis-a-vis Y, the final decision is going to depend upon if one of them is obligated in kibud to the other one. So if I'm Z, right, I'm Z, and I have to decide between Y, X, and Y, if X is obligated in kibud vis-a-vis Y, then I give kibud to Y because both me and X are obligated in the same common kibud. Says Rabbi Kivega, if your grandfather asks you for a cup of tea, and your father asks you for a cup of tea, who are you going to give first? You're going to give first to your grandfather. Why? Because you and your father share the same kibud vis-a-vis your father. Says Rabbi Kivega, the Gemara doesn't even have to postulate and derive the conclusion that you are obligated to your grandparents in that covenant, because it's understood. It's move on me'elav, as we would say. Why? Because since your father is obligated in covet vis-a-vis your grandfather, then certainly you, insofar as you're obligated in covet vis-a-vis your father, for sure, with a kalachomer, you're obligated in covet vis-a-vis your grandfather. Says Rabbi Kivega, but that only applies as long as your son is alive. If your son is not alive, there's no bridge, there's no link that connects the grandson to his grandfather. That's the Gemara in Marcus. The Gemara in Marcus is talking about a case where the father killed the son. Never. If the father killed the son doesn't exist. He's not alive. Therefore, the whole Kal V'chomer of Rabbi Kivega, as he himself points out, falls apart. You can't say that the grandson in this case is obligated in covet vis-a-vis his grandfather, because that covet comes through his father, which means the son. The father is gone, so therefore there's no direct link between the grandson and the grandfather, hence there's no chiv of kibura. So therefore, Rabbi Kivega comes to the following conclusion. There was no need for the Gemara to derive and formulate the chiyuv vis-a-vis grandparents. But on the other hand, that chiyuv vis-a-vis grandparents is conditional on the fact that the son is alive, because it's through the son and his obligation to my grandfather that I as a grandson become obligated in kibud vis-a-vis my grandfather. And based on this, Rabbi Kivega wants to derive the following conclusions. He says the following. Let me just find this in Rabbi Kivega. Give me a minute. He says the following. Number one, that we derive. The chiyuv of kibud to zkeino, to his grandfather, is only as long as his son is alive. Because again, it's only through his son's chiyuv kibud to his grandfather that he as a grandson becomes obligated in kibud to his grandfather. Number two, Abba Omer lo lasos eze davar. His father asks him to do something. Uzkeno mitzaveu lo lasoso, and his grandfather tells him not to do it. Who should he listen to? His father says do it. His grandfather says don't do it. Anybody? His grandfather. Yishmal uzkeno v'lo li'aviv. Sharei gam aviv chayev lishmo b'kol aviv. Meaning his father, which is my grandfather. So since my father is obligated in covet to my grandfather, then he has to rescind, he has to kowtow to my grandfather, because he's obligating covet to my grandfather. So basically, when my father says to me, don't listen to my grandfather, that's null and void. That simply doesn't even register. And that's the chiddush of Rabbi Kivega. Is Memela, when the Medrash says that Chayev Adam b'kvod Aviv Yosef mikod Zkeno, Rabbi Yochanan says, and Rashi quotes in his Perush al Torah, the Ramah derives this from this the conclusion that if I'm in the presence of both my grandfather and my grands and my father, then in such a case, my chiyuv kibud towards my father is greater. Again, notwithstanding the Kavah Chomer of Rabbi Kivega. But let's say, for example, if you're not talking about, if you're focused on which kibud is greater, certainly my chiyuv kibud to my father is greater than that of my chiyuv kibud to my grandfather, as the Medrash says in the name of Yochanan. And that's what the Ramah is telling us. But in certain scenarios, says Rabbi Kiveger, it would be such that I have to actually give a precedent, a preference, that would be the right word, right? A preference, a priority to my grandfather over my grandson. He says, if his father is not in the picture, then his chiyuv is a kibud towards his grandfather. And that is a chiyuv kibud not on the same level as his chiyuv kibud towards his father. So again, we have two scenarios. Scenario number one, let's call it this way. There's Yaakov, Reuven, and Chanoch. Right. So Yaakov is the grandfather, Reuven is the father, and Chanoch is the grandson. If Chanoch is in the presence of both Yaakov and Reuven, of his grandfather and his father, in such a case, what we're going to say is that his chiyuv towards his grandfather takes priority because his father himself is obligated in chiyuv kibud towards his grandfather. But if, let's say, you were talking about a scenario in which the father himself, that means Reuven, is not in the picture at all, correct? Then basically, if you're talking about fundamental, essential principles, like, for example, a farnes, you know, to support, then his chiyuv to support is vis-a-vis his father, and that's greater than his chiyuv to support his grandfather. So again, in the presence of both his grandfather and his father, then he would have to give preference and priority to his grandfather because of the Kavah Chomer of Rabbi Kivega. But in the case where his father is not in the picture right now, he's not present, if you ask essentially what is the most primary and fundamental chiyuv of kibud, it's vis-a-vis his father. So the Shach goes very far, as we said, and he says, no, the chiyuv vis-a-vis the grandfather is an independent chiyuv, not the way Rabbi Kivega understood it. It's a direct chiyuv between the grandson and the grandfather. It's a chiyuv gomer, a total, absolute obligation, even to the extent that we can force him and Kofin also to support his grandfather if there's no one else to support his grandfather. I'm just looking at the clock. We don't have that much time. But I said that I wanted to dedicate part of the Shia to the Hashkafa of grandparents and grandchildren. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his public lectures, which was summarized by Rav Avram Bezdin of the Shalom, describes the feeling of a grandfather at the bris of his grandson. And he says it's a paradoxical feeling because he looks at this newborn baby and he experiences a sense of what he calls generation awareness. On the one hand, you know, he feels nostalgia for the past. He starts remembering when his son was circumcised. You know, thoughts go through his mind about his age, perhaps. He's getting older. But on the other hand, at the same time, he has feelings of the transmission of Torah to the next generation. His heart is filled with prayer. And these prayers are the hope that the grandchild will follow in the footsteps of his father, of his grandfather. That this mitzvah that we spoke about, Vodatam Lebanechu Lebnei Banecha, that we pass the Torah on to our grandchildren, is going to be fulfilled. And that basically now we've created another link in the Masorah chain, the transmission chain that goes back generations upon generations all the way back through the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon to the Rambam and all the way back to Rabbi Akiva and to Moshe Rabbeinu. It is the chain of generations. This is the generation awareness. And Rav Soloveitchik has a very novel twist on a Gemara, which you'll see quoted here on page 16. This Gemara, which I'd like to read to you in the original, if I can find the page, just give me a second. Does anyone happen to have a page that says 24 on it? Let me see. Of course, just my luck the librarian wasn't here today. So, you know what? Right now, I'm going to ask Mechila, we'll read it in the English translation. And if you have a page that says number 16 on the top left, which I think I gave out to you,
yeah.
So you'll take a look at the bottom paragraph on that page. And Rabbi Akiva speaks about what we would call the genetic code, in which parents pass on many, many different attributes to their children, whether it be the appearance, the strength, the health, wisdom, possibly longevity. This is all passed on from parents to children. And that, of course, is a reflection of the genetic code. However, Rabbi Akiva adds something to his list. And that is Mispar Hadoros Lefanov, which literally translates as the number of generations before him. And he adds two words to this Mispar Hadoros Lefanov of the number of generations that have come before him, Vizehu Haketz. This is the redemption. So we have two questions to ask. One is, we don't understand, it's very ambivalent, very enigmatic. What does Rabbi Akiva mean when he says Mispar Hadoros Lefanov? He's already given us a pretty exhaustive list enumerating all that's transferred over to the child through the genetic code, and now he adds Mispar Hadoros Lefanov. And secondly, why is that Mispar Hadoros Lefanov is so critical? It's so important that it's on the top of the list, that it's called Zehu Haketz. For who Haketz? This is going to bring about the ultimate redemption. So Rav Soloveitchik has a very, very unique approach to understanding this statement of Rabbi Akiva, Mispar Hadoros. And he says that the essence of Judaism and the continuity of Klal Yisrael as a unique nation is totally contingent, dependent upon Mispar Hadoros Lefanov. He calls it intergenerational dialogues, where someone living in this century, in contemporary Jewish history, could have a conversation, a dialogue, with someone who lived generations and possibly even thousands of years earlier. He proves this from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is called by Chazal Yisrael. He's the only one of the three Avos whose name indicates the entire Jewish people. And there are many psukim that indicate this throughout Tanakh. Yaakov is called the Zaken. And why? And Chazal say, it's all because of Ephraim uMenashe. Yaakov Avinu personally dedicated years upon years of his life to transmit the Torah to Ephraim and to Menashe. Who were Ephraim and Menashe to Yaakov? Grandsons. The entire relationship between a grandfather and a grandson is clinched in the existence of Yaakov Avinu teaching Torah to his grandchildren. He becomes the personification, if you will, of intergenerational dialogue. This is what the Mesorah is all about. This is the key to linking up generations, one generation to the other. And it's not coincidental that it's Rabbi Akiva who emphasizes Mispar Adoros Lefanov, because it was Rabbi Akiva who witnessed the terrible catastrophes that took place to the Jewish nation and the loss of 24,000 of his students. But Rabbi Akiva says that transmission of the Torah will continue. There will be a Mispar Adoros, because there will be generations to come that will have a dialogue with generations much, much earlier than they. And here, if you have page 21 in the pages I gave to you, and this is a very, very famous dramatic description of Rav Soloveitchik's classroom. He describes himself in third person as the elderly Rebbe. He walks into his classroom, which is crowded with students who are young enough to be grandchildren and perhaps even great-grandchildren. He enters into the classroom. He's weak. His eyes reflect fatigue. His back is bothering him. His face is wrinkled. And his face really gives way and shows the sadness of old age. And then, if you turn to the other side of the page, the Rebbe sits down and he perceives in front of him rows upon rows of young, beaming faces. Young men in their 20s, maybe even younger. They have clear, radiating eyes of youth. And all of a sudden, the pessimism, the uncertainty of old age is completely lost. Is there a dialogue between an old teacher and his young students? And the answer is a robust yes. Because after the Rebbe enters into the classroom and takes his seat, his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, enters in and sits down to listen to the class. The students are involved, engaged in dialogue, and they ask questions. All of a sudden, the door opens, and another old man comes in. He's much older than Reb Chaim. He's the Shach, who is three centuries before Reb Chaim. And he sits down and takes his seat. And then more visitors arrive from the 11th, 12th, and 13th centuries. Rabbeinu Tam enters in, Rashi, the Rambam, the Ravid, the Rashbah, Rabbi Akiva, and others, all the scholarly giants of generations, they all take their seats. The Rebbe introduces his guests to his students, and the dialogue begins. The Rambam states halacha. The Ravid disagrees very sharply. Some students interrupt to defend the Rambam, and they express themselves harshly against the Ravid, and the Rebbe stops them, and he says, you have to have more respect for the Ravid. The Rashba smiles gently. The Rebbe tries to analyze, what did the students mean? What did other students mean? Other students intercede. Rabbeinu Tam is called upon. Express your opinion. There's a symposium going on, which connects all generations. The young students debating against earlier generations. All speak the same language. All pursue one single common goal. All are committed to one common vision. They all operate within the same conceptual categories. A Mesorah collegiality is achieved, a friendship, a comradeship that spans all generations, that connects antiquity, the Middle Ages, modern times. Vizeu haketz. That's what Rabbi Akiva had in mind. This is the joining of all generations, and this will ultimately bring about the final redemption and the Mashiach. And the Pasuk tells us at the end of Tanakh, Malachi says, Veheshiv lev avos al banim. This is the eschatological perception, the vision of Yadus, the Mesorah community. That's what we're all about. And after 2 or 3 hours of Shia, the Rav emerges. He feels rejuvenated. He has magically, perhaps supernaturally, defeated old age. The students who are young are exhausted. But the Mesorah experience continues to live on. Hands bridging gaps of centuries and generations and millennia. Hands parched, dry, and wrinkled embrace warm and young, supple hands in a commonality. V'zeu hakeitz, this is the secret that will lead to the ultimate redemption. B'mehirav Yomeinu Amen, B'yas Mashiach. It doesn't surprise me at all that we said in the name of the Torah Tmima that grandchildren are obligated in the kibbutz of their grandparents, because their grandparents are obligated to transmit the Torah to them. And the Gemara goes as far as saying that if a grandparent transmits the Torah to his grandchildren, his ma'alel av akosuv, this is the greatest level of Kabbalah Satorah, similar to our Sinai itself. So on a halachic level, I cannot paskin for you. There are views in one extreme to the other. But on a hashkafic level, I would say for sure, in the context of these very precious relationships between grandparents and grandchildren, there's a wonderful embracing of generations, a kibud, a transmission of the Torah, and zeu hakeitz, may we be zocha to that, b'mehirav Yomeinu, amen. Thank you very much.